You think it's still? I suppose we can concentrate this week on, in the evening, on the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Transcendental Knowledge. Text 1. You don't have anything on the board because I didn't know what I was going to do. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Imam Devashvite Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivaswan Manave Praha Manar Ikshvakave Bravit. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Imam, this, Vivasvate, unto the Sun God, Yogam, the science of one's relationship to the Supreme, Proktavan, instructed, Aham, I. Avyayam, imperishable. Vivaswan, Vivaswan, the Sun God's name. Manave, unto the Father of mankind, of the name Vivasvata. Praha, told. Manu, the Father of mankind. Ikshvakave, unto King Ikshvaku, Abravit, said. The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the Sun God, Vivaswan. And Vivaswan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind. And Manu, in turn, instructed it to Ikshvaku. Repeat after me. The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga, to the Sun God Vivaswan. And Vivaswan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind. And Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. Purport. Herein we find the history of the Bhagavad Gita traced from a remote time when it was delivered to the royal order of all planets, beginning from the sun planet. The kings of all planets are especially meant for the protection of the inhabitants, and therefore the royal order should understand the science of Bhagavad Gita in order to be able to rule the citizens and protect them from material bondage to lust. Human life is meant for cultivation of spiritual knowledge in eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the executive heads of all states and all planets are obliged to impart this lesson to the citizens by education, culture, and devotion. In other words, the executive heads of all states are intended to spread the science of Krishna consciousness so that the people may take advantage of this great science and pursue a successful path utilizing the opportunity of a human form of life. In this millennium, the sun god is known as Vivaswan, the king of the sun, which is the origin of all planets within the solar system. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated, Yakshchakshur esa savita sakala grahanam raja samasta sura murti ashesha teja yasya gaya brahmati samrita kala chakro govindam hari purusham tamaham vajami. Let me worship, Lord Brahma said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is the original person, and under whose order the sun, which is the king of all planets, is assuming immense power and heat. The sun represents the eye of the Lord and traverses its orbit in obedience to his order. The sun is the king of the planets, and the sun god, at present of the name Vivaswan, rules the sun planet, which is controlling all other planets by supplying heat and light. He is rotating under the order of Krishna, and Lord Krishna originally made Vivaswan his first disciple to understand the science of Bhagavad Gita. The Gita is not, therefore, a speculative treatise for the insignificant mundane scholar, but is a standard book of knowledge coming down from time immemorial. All right, that's half the purport. We'll stop there. Om Jnana Timanandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Now, what exactly are you hearing in this first verse of chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge? Imam Vivastute Yogam Proktavan Ahamavyam. Krishna is telling you the history of Bhagavad Gita. He's tracing it back into circumstances which may boggle your mind. Basically, what is Krishna telling you here? He's telling you that the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita was seeded upon the earth from other planets. Did you ever think about that? Krishna is telling you, I spoke this knowledge on another planet, and then it came to the earth. I spoke it to the sun god Vivaswan. Then Vivaswan spoke it to Manu, the father of mankind. And Manu instructed Tikshvaku. So in this way, from the sun planet, things came to the earth. Actually, the message of Bhagavad Gita begins from beyond even this material cosmos. It is not that you can simply trace Bhagavad Gita to the sun planet. No, because Krishna comes from outside the material world. Then again, Krishna is within everything, every atom, every planet, every living entity's heart. Yes, every living entity has a heart, whether you can find it with your senses or not. Krishna says, Ishvar Sarva Bhutanam. I am the controller in everyone's heart, every living entity's heart. You might say, when we cut open an ant, we don't find a heart, or when we try to open a germ, if we could, a microbe, we don't find a heart. You may not find, but Krishna knows what he's talking about. Ishvar Sarva Bhutana. I'm the controller in everyone's heart. The heart means the seat of consciousness. Krishna is within everyone's heart. He's within every atom. He's within the universe. But this material universe is just a small section of the total manifestation of the Lord's energy. Therefore, the material cosmos is called Ekapad Vibhuti. It's 1/4, roughly speaking, of the total manifestation. And the spiritual world is called Tripad Vibhuti, 3/4, roughly speaking, of the total manifestation. But actually, you can't calculate the material world, and certainly you cannot calculate the spiritual world. The Vaikuntha planets are made of Ananda Chinmaya, spiritual bliss. Just like this planet has earth as its predominating element. But the Vaikuntha planets are composed of spiritual bliss. They cannot be measured, each Vaikuntha planet cannot be measured. And the number of Vaikuntha planets cannot be calculated. But all those immeasurable Vaikuntha planets, immeasurable in size and the total number, they all are there in just one section of the spiritual sky. And all those Vaikuntha planets, they fit into one forest of Vrindavan. The Vrindavan forest is about 32 miles. And somewhere in one part of Vrindavan, all the Vaikuntha planets are there. These things violate your conceptions of space and time. But space and time are just insignificant energies of Krishna. In this way, we can trace the history of Bhagavad Gita, not only to the sun planet, but you can trace it to outside the confines of the material cosmos, outside of the realm of time and space. That is why Bhagavad Gita has particular value. Anytime someone tries to speak knowledge, and that person is under the influence of time and space, their knowledge will be faulty. But the advantage in saying what Krishna says is that you are repeating something from a person who is not affected by time or space. That means that person is free. Not only is Krishna unaffected by time and space, but Krishna is the origin of time and space. Therefore, whatever he says is very valuable, of the most value. Now, just see. You are sitting on the floor hearing that the personality of Godhead instructed the imperishable science of yoga to the chief of the sun planet. Now, what do you really think about that? Are you ready to accept those implications? Yes, the sun planet has a chief, just like Perth has a mayor and Western Australia has a, what? Premier. So the sun planet has Vivaswan. And Krishna says, I spoke this knowledge to him. Now what are you going to say? No, 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 no. Doesn't sound like it can be so. Is it possible we can get some air in here? Bhagavad Gita is expanding your understanding of what is going on in the cosmos. There's so many challenges in Bhagavad Gita happening on every level. The transcendental level, even the material level. Krishna is challenging your material conceptions about the cosmos. He's saying, I can speak the most sublime knowledge to the chief living entity who lives on the sun planet. You cannot live on the sun planet because you don't have the appropriate body. But Krishna is saying, I spoke this knowledge to the chief person who had the appropriate body to live on the sun planet. Now what can you say? No, I don't believe it. You don't know this way or that way, based on your sense perception. You have no idea. Just like, for example, sometimes you meet people, and when you say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they immediately say, no, no. Now, for them to say no, that means they must have some knowledge to deny it. But you ask them, what is your knowledge that you can deny Krishna is the Supreme Lord? And they cannot say anything. All they know is, not Krishna. No, no, no. This is the envy of conditioned souls. They have no better knowledge, but they'll be very quick to deny Krishna. Here the Lord is speaking about things that are beyond your ability to perceive directly. And Krishna is not even talking about the spiritual world yet. He's talking about the material world. Suppose he came back and he said, came back from the city today and said, I had a private audience with the Prime Minister. You all probably wouldn't believe him. He'd say, you're exaggerating. What would the Prime Minister want to see you for? You might feel that same way about when Krishna says, I spoke to the chief living entity in the sun planet. Because it doesn't match up with your expectations and your experience. You think, maybe it's not true. But Krishna knows exactly what he's saying. Imam Vivasvate Yogam. I spoke this science of yoga to Viraswan. And what is the nature of that science of yoga? Proktavan aham avyayam. It is imperishable, avyayam. Krishna cannot be destroyed, and knowledge of Krishna also cannot be destroyed. It can become hidden by circumstance. It can become obscured, covered, but it cannot be destroyed. So Krishna is telling you, I spoke the same thing that I'm about to tell you, Arjuna, or the same thing I'm in the process of telling you, I told it before to Vivaswan. Now you have to think about that. Are you ready to accept that? Or you're just mechanically reading Bhagavad Gita? No, you must think, Krishna is saying this. I must take it very seriously. Now, does taking very seriously what Krishna says mean you are a blind follower? How many of you here want to be a blind follower? Raise your hand. How many of you want to be a follower? Raise your hand. How many are not sure? Raise your hand. Isn't it true? What is your name? Lim? Isn't it true, Lim, that if you tell your friends and your schoolmates, I want to be a follower, they look at you like, you know, what's wrong with you? Who wants to be a follower? The only thing worse than being a follower is to be a servant. You can imagine if we go out in the streets and tell people, come to our center, we'll teach you how to be a servant. No one will be attracted. To be a follower seems to be a very bad thing. And what about being a blind follower? How would you like that, Lee, to be a blind follower? Yes. If you told all your friends, yeah, hey, my mates, I'm following blindly. What would they say? What would your friend say if you told them you're following blindly? What about your friends? If you told your friends you're following blindly?
People. It's the same anyway. People following.
Yes, well, that's the point. The Krishna conscious person should be able to point out to these people that everyone is following blindly in materialistic society. So many things you accept to exist in the material world. You have no proof of these things that you accept, but you accept it for the sake of pushing on your affairs in the material world. But Krishna doesn't want your blind following. That's why Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita, so that your following will be knowledgeable. Still, the fact is there. No matter what you know about fire, if you touch it, you'll get burned. The fire burns the so-called innocent child who sticks the finger into it, fire, and the fire burns adults who know all about fire. Any way you come in contact with Krishna is for your benefit, even if you follow Krishna blindly, because you're following the right thing. In this way, we do not criticize people for following Krishna blindly, but we do say that Krishna will offer you much more than blind following. But there's nothing wrong with blindly following the Supreme Perfect. Generally the case is, however, that without knowledge of the Supreme, you won't continue following. Still, the fact has to be understood. If you blindly follow Krishna, your life will become perfect. Our choice given by Krishna is to acquire knowledge about Krishna and then follow with knowledge. Then you're much more prone to retain that knowledge. If someone gives you something valuable and you don't know it's valuable, you may drop it. Therefore, we need knowledge to keep us aware of the great gift Krishna has given us. This great gift is avyam, it's imperishable, it can't be destroyed. The knowledge of Krishna consciousness cannot be destroyed in any circumstance. And Krishna is saying, I taught this imperishable science of yoga first to Devaswan. Now we find very interesting information about the planetary system here and what the persons in charge of each planet are supposed to do. The kings of all planets are especially meant for the protection of the inhabitants, and therefore the royal order should understand the science of Bhagavad Gita in order to be able to rule the citizens and protect them from material bondage to lust. That is the purpose of government, to protect the citizens from material bondage to lust. Now, how is your government out here doing at that task? Is it protecting the citizens from bondage to lust? Do they feel very thankful? Thanks. We're so thankful for the government of Western Australia. It's saving us from bondage to lust. No. The government, by its policies, is deepening people's entanglement in lust. But Krishna is teaching Bhagavad Gita because the Lord, being the source of everything, knows that unless the living entities get this knowledge, they will not be able to get out of the grip of the material energy. Being in the grip of material energy means being bound to lust. So let us meditate on these first points tonight. Number one, who knows the first point?
The knowledge is spoken, it's coming down, and it's spoken from beyond this world.
Yes, Krishna is describing an extraterrestrial origin to Bhagavad Gita knowledge. He traces it to the sun planet. Now, if you want to get deeper into the issue, the knowledge of Krishna originates from outside the material cosmos. So there's so much that we cannot verify with our imperfect senses. Did Krishna speak to the chief of the sun planet? Is that possible? Is this knowledge coming from outside the material world? Is that possible? These are all things you can verify through the chanting of Hare Krishna. By chanting Hare Krishna properly, you develop experience of what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita. Why should you accept on blind faith when Krishna can give you more? So in this way you can see we don't criticize people who have blind faith, but we do say that Krishna is ready to give you much more than that. If you blindly touch a match that's on fire, it'll still burn you. The match on fire doesn't say, oh, you are blind, so I won't burn you when you stick your finger on it. No, you stick your finger into the fire, it'll get burned. Similarly, you connect with Krishna even if you don't understand Krishna, and you'll be burned by the fire of devotional service. The more we know about Krishna, the more we are inclined to serve Krishna. Everyone likes to imagine they're serving a great person. Krishna is the supreme great, and he invites you to participate in his service. The more conscious you are of the science of Krishna, the better you'll be able to serve Krishna, because you'll be impressed by Krishna's glories. Now, by hearing this purport, you can see how Krishna is concerned with the whole cosmos, not just earth. The Bhagavad Gita takes in different planets. It covers the ground, so to speak, of different planets, not just the earth planet. You're learning that right from the first verse in the fourth chapter, Transcendental Knowledge. There's a lot going on in the universe that I don't know about. And we're not even talking yet about the spiritual world. The executive heads of all states and all planets are obliged to impart this lesson to the citizens by education, culture, and devotion. Now, where can you go to get lessons in Krishna's teachings? Through education, culture, and devotion. That's what you're doing here. This is an educational center. This is a cultural center. This is a devotional center. The advantage of rendering service here is that indeed you will acquire education, culture, and devotion. That's the advantage. Sometimes ashram living looks a bit inconvenient. Sometimes our brahmacharis and brahmacharinis, they just figure out, let me get married some kind of way just so I can escape the ashram. We don't expect everyone to live in the ashram. At the same time, the point is, if you want education, culture, and devotion, it's good to have the training that the ashrams offer. We should have some aspirations, some goals. I want transcendental education. I want transcendental culture. I want transcendental devotion. How am I going to acquire these things? This center is a training ground for education, culture, and devotion. You should be able to see in your life how the knowledge is increasing, how the education is increasing, how the devotion is increasing. Any of you should be able to see that in your own personal life. Any questions?
Who is Ikshvaku?
Ikshvaku, stated right here. He was instructed Bhagavad Gita by Manu. We didn't read the whole purport because it's very long. But at the end of the purport, you'll find that Ikshvaku is the son of Manu. These are not ordinary persons. They are amongst the power elite in the cosmos. Vivaswan, the chief of the sun planet. Manu, Ikshvaku. These are not ordinary puny human beings. Any other questions?
Teachings become lost or else.
Krishna doesn't always have to come to do things. He can send his representative. So right in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada makes the point that there were so many editions of Bhagavad Gita in the Western world, but not one devotee of Krishna. And as soon as the real Bhagavad Gita manifested, devotees to Krishna manifested everywhere in the world. Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna told him, just write these books. He was describing Krishna was sending him to the material world, and he said, oh, I don't want to go, it's a horrible place. And Krishna told him, just write those books, everything will be alright. Manu is the son of Lord Brahma. Anything else? So how does this sound to you? Krishna is saying, I spoke to the chief living entity who lives in the fire of the sun planet. How does it sound? What about you? You can handle it? Yes. This material cosmos is far beyond your understanding. And what to speak of the spiritual world? The residents of the spiritual world are more awesome. Anything else? So we'll continue in the fourth chapter and we'll see how far we get, what we get into. Just remember this point. Feel that you're part of an interplanetary situation. Without even taking into account the spiritual world, based on the material planetary information that Krishna is giving here, you're taking part in an interplanetary situation when you read Bhagavad Gita and discuss Bhagavad Gita. How many of you ever thought about that point deeply? Raise your hands. One, two, one and a half, so. Yes. Bhagavad Gita is putting you right in the middle of an interplanetary system of transferring knowledge. That's why we're not very excited when people talk about UFOs and aliens. We're not interested in some low-grade space cowboys. We are getting knowledge from the most exalted personalities in the cosmos. And Krishna is saying, it is like that. I did this. Just like if you ask Chris, why did you do something? He said, I did this because of that, and then I did this, and I did that. He'll leave you with no doubts what he did. I came to the temple and they gave me too much devotional service. So I didn't come back for 3 days. He's the authority on him, so if you want to know what he's done, you know, and how he sees things, you ask him. And Krishna's doing the same thing. Krishna's saying, I spoke this science of yoga before to the sun god. You are speaking, Krishna is speaking. Why do you think Krishna can't speak? When you, the tiny living entity, you can speak. And not only does Krishna speak, but his words are so valuable that 5,000 years later, here we are memorizing those words. All right. So thank you all for coming, especially Artie. We had a very nice Artie tonight. Nice kirtan. Then we can discuss a little bit of Bhagavad Gita. And we can take questions in the coming days. So if you have any questions about how to make progress in Krishna consciousness, how to avoid the obstacles, we'll deal with those questions. All right. Hare Krishna. All the